problems are going to be a part of our life from when we first are old enough to understand what problems are. They will then follow us through the rest of our life. Now, the reality is, in the church, there's going to be problems too, because in the church, we are all imperfect. None of us have arrived. Do I get an amen to that? Nobody has arrived. So in the church, in the first century church, the church age and the church being less than 2 years old, they ran into problems. So what exactly did they do when they had problems? How did they handle it? And what was the outlook of the church? What were they supposed to do? How could they keep from avoiding problems? That's what we're going to look at this morning as we continue in a series that I have been in for a while. The series is entitled God's Fix for Society. God has a plan. He has a fix for us. The reality is, are we going to follow it, His plan, His design, or are we going to do our own thing? And that is the battle of every believer in every generation. We're now 20, 21 generations away from when the church began. And today, as we focus in on what the early church did, we're going to see and we're going to discover how to solve church problems in one sense. We're going to be in Acts chapter 6 today. We're going to look at seven verses. Now, next week, I'm going to do the longest message in terms of verses that I've ever done here. I'm going to do almost 70 verses next week. So I'm just warning you. No, we're just going to read most of them and do that. But today we're just going to do seven verses. And in your blue Bibles, you can find those right in front of you. Page 774, and you can be right with us. There's an outline provided. Basically today, three simple points: what they did, how they handled church problems, and then we'll continue on next week as we continue in this series. All right, Solving Church Problems, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, and let's continue. Chapter 6, in those days when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews... There were Jews that did not speak Hebrew. They spoke Greek. Not every Jew could speak Hebrew or Aramaic. And so, in the church, there were different people groups. And they were all Jews, but they didn't all speak the same language. Grecian Jews, among them, complained against the Hebraic Jews. These would be Jews that spoke Hebrew. They were all Jews, but they struggled with language differences and probably felt more comfortable in their original language, although they could all understand one language. Because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. All right, so how do we get to this problem? Well, in the church, and it's only 2 years old, but it has exploded at this point. Well over 5,000. Well over 5,000. That's a conservative number. Young people, middle-aged people, and also older people. It was interesting to find out, why do we have these groups and their widows mentioned? Typically, in New Testament times and with Jews, they would come from other places and come to Jerusalem to spend their last years. And they would plan to spend their years there, and then they would die. That was a tradition. It was something that they did, and it was very common. And so what happened is these folks, older, were gathered together, were a part of the church, and as typically, but not always, typically happens, the ladies outlive the men. Look at the smile on some faces. The ladies outlive the men. Not always, but in this case they did. And so we have a number of widows. And so really the first food ministry, food pantry, whatever you want to call it, started because they had a number of widows that were limited in their resources. And so They got together and had a food ministry, and they would distribute during the day, a couple times during the week maybe, so that the needs were met. Well, the problem was there was a lot of them, and there was a lot of food, and it was a lot of work. And so what happened is, because of the expansion and growth of the church, some things got overlooked. And so when the day came to get your food, if you were a widow, it wasn't there. That would be a problem, wouldn't it? Because we all like to eat, right? We do. And so that is the problem. And it didn't take long for that problem to make it to the apostles, the leaders of the church at that time. And they recognize we got a problem. We do not want people upset at us because they're not having enough food. Because the issue wasn't that there wasn't food. The issue was it wasn't getting handed out. It's a problem. You think about that. I'm looking forward to eating today. You all want to eat. They were no different. So we have a problem. All right. Now, on your outline, church problems arise. Okay, just verse 1 by itself. Let's just kind of a thought here. I think it's very helpful for us to recognize. Church problems arise even when, let's go ahead to the next slide, even when the church has good leadership. Even when there's good leadership, and the apostles were doing the best they could at this time. So if you've been in a church and it has problems, that doesn't mean the church necessarily just has bad leadership. There's just issues, and there will be issues, even when the church has good leadership, and they did in the first century as they were trying to get established and as they were trying to do things and trying to make the ministry work. Just because there's problems does not mean you have bad leadership. Sometimes the two are equated, and you can't always draw that assumption. In this case, that wasn't the problem. It was just so many things to do. You know, it's interesting when I, as being a pastor, problems kind of end up in a couple different ways. One set of problems has to do with people and personal problems. When they've got an issue and they have an issue with something, there are times that it gets to me. And it's a personal problem. And those are, that's just part of life in a church. That's life in any organization. Personal problems. Second category is maybe property. Property, when you have ministries going and doing things and coexisting, yeah, there's potential for problems over property. We need this room. We need that room. They've got this room. We need, you know, those kind of things. Very common. By the way, next door, the last room where the bell ringer is, for lack of a better term, I think you can go in there. I've never pulled the bell since I've been here. Can you believe that? I know. One of these days I'm going to have to do that. Anyway, you can ring the bell, and in that room, you're not supposed to, but you can ring the bell. Only Cheryl can ring the bell. She's a bell ringer. Anyway, that back room has been cleaned out. That back room, we need that room. It used to have all the chairs, and it used to be kind of the dumping ground. It is no longer the dumping ground. That is bad to come and dump in the church with your treasures that we so appreciate. We have other places for you to do that, but we have cleaned that room out. We've actually got it set up to have some, it's keeping with this passage, have a freezer in there and have some food and a ministry involved in helping out, also to have groups that need that room to be able to meet in there. And these things happen in the church. So there's personal problems, there's property issues, and sometimes there's ministry issues when, for one reason or another, something in ministry people are concerned about or have a concern. And so these are just some of the problems. You're going to have these. It doesn't mean you have bad leadership. It means you have to deal with problems. In the first century church, they had good leadership. They just had a lot going on. This was all new. And so, what did they do? What were they supposed to do? Verses 2 through 4. So, the 12, meaning who? The apostles, gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables." What? you read that and you think, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? We're not going to wait on tables. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is they had a primary ministry that they were doing. Now, I'm guessing that some of these apostles helped set up tables. Sure, they did at times if they needed to. And they were doing that, but that cannot be their primary ministry at this time. So we have other responsibilities. So how are we going to solve this problem? Brothers, verse 3, choose how many? 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. That means they're walking with God, they know God, they love God, they are endeavoring to serve God, and it's visible in their life and in their actions that they're doing that. They're full of the Spirit and what? Wisdom. They're intelligent. We respect what they say. We respect how they lead and the decisions they come to and things like that. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are full of knowledge of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this, what? Responsibility. This was important. It's a responsibility. We will turn this ministry over to them. And verse 4, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. We, as apostles, primarily are going to teach and we're going to pray. That is our primary responsibility, but we recognize the importance of all ministry and that we've got a problem here. Let's choose 7 that are full of the Spirit and wisdom. What office in the church is just being established in this verse? The office of deacon. Deacon. The word is deokinei, and it means servant. This is where deacon started. The word is not actually here. It's in other chapters, but this is how they established deacons in the church. That's exactly what's going on. We as the leaders, at this point it was the apostles, we have important responsibilities. We also have many church responsibilities. We are going to put together a group who are going to do the work of the ministry, and this is one of them, helping and making sure that these widows get fed and it's not a problem. This is where deacons started. In Acts chapter 6 and about verse 4, this is where it comes from, that word and this concept. They said, okay, as leaders we have to teach and we have to pray. There's other things they did, but those are our primary responsibilities. Which leads me to say on your outline, number 2, in solving church problems, go ahead and bring it up, leadership must stick to its priorities. Leadership must stick to its priorities. That doesn't mean you don't ever do other things. You do. But we do have priorities. Now, on your outline, in that box, there are 3 blanks at the bottom. Am I correct? Very good. It's good that I'm correct, because if not, I'm doing a different message and where there's a problem here, and it's going to show itself quickly. Leadership must stick to its priority. Okay, number 1, let's bring up a verse for that first blank. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You then, my son, Paul is writing to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, this is a letter written, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are written to pastors later on. You then, my son Timothy, Paul is writing, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Okay. So when you're talking about the leadership of the church, let's leave this up, Kathy. When we're talking about leadership in the church, one of the responsibilities of leadership is to teach. And I'm not even putting a verse for that. That is a given. We understand that. One of the responsibilities of our church, which now has elders, and we have deacons, we don't have them in name as much, but we have elders, one of the responsibilities of an elder, and the difference between the office of elder and the office of deacon, both biblical terms, primary difference is an elder is apt to teach. Apt to teach. means in a process of learning how to teach. And you have within your elders individuals that teach, and that is one of the responsibilities that we have as elders. You know what's exciting to me is that there are times when I will take a vacation and I will not be here. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go find a guest speaker somewhere else. We do that, but there are elders in this church who can teach. And there have been. I've had three of our elders teach since I've been here. That doesn't mean the others can't. They just haven't at this point. But elders do that. One of the responsibilities then of leadership is teaching. I am one of the elders. One of my primary roles is to teach and to prepare and to do this ministry. This is part of what I do. It's not the only thing I do. My role also involves looking, observing at people, both men and women, to teach and to help them have the opportunity to do that and the platform to do that. All right, so what have we done this year? When we talk about teaching, there is verse-by-verse teaching. This is the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7. That is verse-by-verse. So this year we have done verse-by-verse. What other book this year, let's see if you guys can remember, did I go verse-by-verse through in the middle of the year? Can you remember? It had to do with a 20-year-old. What'd you say, Susan? Esther. Maybe another year I did Jonah. That's true, I did. I did Esther this year, and I did Esther as a book of the Old Testament and also verse by verse. Now, earlier this year, I did another book that I did not do all the way through verse by verse, but I did concepts out of it. Can anybody remember what that study was on? What book in the New Testament? New Testament. Samuel's in the Old Testament, but it's close. It's okay. You see, I can't even remember what I did last week sometimes. I want you to know, so it's maybe not a fair question to you. No, we did Ephesians. Earlier this year, we did Walking to Please God. We did Ephesians earlier in this year. And so I did not do that one necessarily verse by verse, but verse with verse. I did a series in the fall. See how well I have impacted you? I mean, this could be discouraging as a pastor. Can you remember that? No. We did a series on the church in September, a 4-week series on the church. And you're thinking, are you sure? Yeah, we did. And that I did verse with verse. I pulled a verse out of 1 Samuel. I pulled a verse out of Corinthians. These are the series I've done this year. So my goal as a primary teaching pastor, Old Testament, New Testament, and topical, to provide you with those as well as book studies. And that's what we're doing in Acts. And to help others get to that point. Second area of responsibility, that'd be the next verse, is Ephesians 4:11-12. 4:11-12. It was He who gave He is the Holy Spirit. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets. We talked about this. The requirement of apostle is see the risen Christ. Because we saw that in Acts 1. Prophets, I'm not a prophet. I do not originate anything new. There's no new message with me. I take what is written. So I'm not a prophet. Some to be evangelists, I do not actually have the gift of evangelism. There are some that do. And some to be pastors and probably teachers. Pastors would be more the shepherding role of that side of the responsibility, and teacher is teacher. So hopefully take what is here and to make it applicable to our lives today. Next screen, or verse 12, to prepare God's people for what? Works of service. That is my second primary responsibility, and as leaders, our responsibility. To prepare God's people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. That is what we do as leaders. And I have that responsibility, and a lot of that takes place through our Next Step program, which we'll be talking about today at the banquet and other times. to prepare God's people for works of service so that you can do the work of ministry. In a sense, I'm supposed to train you well enough so you don't need me. It's the truth. In a sense, it is. Some of you are saying, yeah, that'd be... All right, next. Third point, vision. What the leaders do. Vision. We do not come and just twiddle our thumbs. We do that sometimes, I'll be honest with you, but we come with a vision saying, this is what I feel God is having me do as your pastor with our leaders. And I got to run it by them. And they're going to take time to think about things, to mull over things, maybe to tweak things. These would be ideas and concepts. I wrote down a couple of them. Faith promise. The last time you did anything dealing with construction and work and things like that, it was a bond. I came and I said, I understand bonds, but we need to do faith promise where we trust God to do that. We talked about that as a board. We prayed about that. And by God's grace, since we have come in the decade that I've been here, I can't believe I can say that, a decade, you guys have had to put up with me. That was a joke, all right? The decade I've been here, we've not increased our indebtedness at all. When I first came, you were buying the back house. That was already in process. And I understand for certain projects, you might have to get a loan and do that. I mean, that is a reality. But the other major projects that we've done, when we did this whole auditorium, it was all paid for in cash. Air conditioning, cash. Roofing, cash. Office remodel, that was before me. Fencing, parking lot, all done in cash. Faith promise, develop that. And that was part of the vision I came with, but I couldn't just come and just ramrod that through. You can't. You do that working with your leadership. Different ministry opportunities that we have. There are some that are established here that are great ministries, and we've added to that. Missions. Missions. I totally believe in missions prayer and missions giving, but missions going is a whole example from the book of Acts. And as we keep going through here, missions is important in that way. Next steps, something we've talked about and we'll continue to talk about. Even folks, the idea together of the 60th anniversary. As leaders, we talked about this. When I came, you were celebrating your what? 50th. Good. You can do the math there. I'm just making sure. But that's my first year, and that's a little early to do something. But now, the 60th. And doing that, and enjoying that, and fellowshipping, and being challenged. All of those together are what leadership has done. But leadership has to stick to its primary responsibilities of teaching, equipping, and vision casting. That's what we're to do. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't seen every leader that is on that board do everything else, from moving tables, to mopping floors, to cleaning up. That's a reality of life. And not one of these leaders would not, they would be willing to do that. They would. Amen? Amen. Finally, verses 5 through 7. All right. This proposal pleased the whole group. Well, that was good. So the proposal was, let's get this group together, and they're going to do this. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Chorus, Nicanor, Timon, Paramus, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. Interesting comment. He was a convert and came to the church. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. Okay, we see this example a number of times in, especially the book of Acts, but in the New Testament. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, this is interesting. There were priests. These were individuals who knew and had God's word, but they had maybe not been convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. But after putting the facts together, the resurrection and all this, and when the church started, a number of priests came to embrace Christianity. And they're just making that point that that was going on also from where they were. Most importantly, though, is the fact that we have seven individuals now that are doing what? They're doing the work of the ministry, which leads me to say by principle, most importantly, go ahead, Kathy, people must do the work of the church. And that's what's going on with these seven that are named. We have a problem. We're not getting this ministry done. The solution, appoint deacons so that they can do this. And then they commissioned them and they were off and running and doing the work of the church. It's the same today. People have to do the church, the work of the ministry of the church. There is a philosophy that the pastor should do it all. There's no way I can, and there's no way I will. You don't want me to do it all. I'm not very good at some things. I asked if I could sing this morning. I'm kidding. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not going to do everything. We are to equip people to do the work of the ministry and them do it. And there are growing pains in doing that. There are growing pains in doing that, especially if you're used to doing a lot, to step aside, to encourage others as they do things. It takes a mature believer to do that because they might not do it exactly the way we do it. And it may not be as organized as we want. And that can be tough. But the reality is, people have to do the work of the ministry. Amen? Stephen is going to stand up next week. He's going to give a little message. He's going to get dragged off. He's going to appear before the Sanhedrin, and persecution is going to break out in the church. It's a long story, but it's a whole section. And we will finish next week 12 weeks of God's Fix for Society, taking us from chapter 1 through chapter 7. And in this chapter, which is from chapter 1 through chapter 7, 2 years has taken place. And now persecution breaks out. And what is going to happen in chapter 8 is that the church is going to spread out. It's moving out from where? It's primarily in Jerusalem now. But in Acts 1:8 it says, you'll be my witnesses in what? Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria. So chapters 8 through 12 is the next major section in the book of Acts. And that's going to begin sometime in 2011. We're going to look at those chapters. But for now, just so you know, we've almost covered 2 years of time, and the end of that two-year period of time, persecution is going to break out in the church, and God is going to use that to spread his church now out of one city to the countryside and to the areas around him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your church. Thank you for the opportunity that we have of serving in your church. It doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, it's still your church and it's your ministry. Thank you, Lord, that in your eyes, every church and every ministry is significant. No matter if it's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, because you are here, Lord, that's what makes it significant. Thank you for these lessons as we look at your leaders and your people 2,000 years ago. Struggle with a very practical problem. Thank you for the principles that we can gain from that. Help us to make them more than principles, but parts of our lives in furthering your kingdom and your work. Thank you that we can give, and we do that gratefully. And thank you, Lord, in advance for this evening. As we come back, gather together, fellowship, talk about some things, pray together, share, because it's all about you, Lord. It's not about any one person in this church. It's about you, and we're back together this evening to glorify you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.